Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you over IPTV. All right. This is indeed our 70th podcast. For those of you that have been listening over audio for all this time, 1 through 69 were all audio only. But now through the miracle of technology, you're there and I'm here in front of the camera. Pretty cool camera at that. It's a Samsung camcorder, and I got it for Christmas. I know some of you are saying, Dr. Bill, you look like Santa Claus. I've been saying that for a long time. If you check the blog, you'll see that I said that in the blog. However, now you know that I indeed look the part, although I am having a bad hair day. Now, the reason I'm having a bad hair day is because I went in to get a haircut over Christmas holiday, and I told the lady I want it short, and she said, right, no problem. And she cut it short. What can I say? Well, for those of you that have been listening to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon for a very long time, hello. For those of you that have just tuned in to YouTube, Democracy Player channel, all the other places that we're now going to be as drbill.tv, then hello. Good to see you too. See, here's the thing. This is the way it works. I've been doing a podcast now for almost a year and a half, nearly 2 years, roughly. Maybe a couple weeks less than Leo Laporte's been doing Twit. Okay? So, but since then, it's been audio only, and we're still actually doing audio. Matter of fact, what you're hearing, if you're listening to the podcast over an MP3 file, is audio. But if you tuned in to our video, you now know we have video as well. And of course, you can go to our blog. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to go to the computercurmudgeon.blog. You know, I feel funny because some of you have been listening to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon for a very long time, okay? You know me and you know who I am. But there are a lot of you that have just tuned in for the very first time. You have no idea who I am. And you think, you know, that's the strangest looking dude I have ever seen in my whole life. And you'd be right. But here's the thing. You see, there's a blog called Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And as you can see, I look the part of the curmudgeon with the gray beard. I'm 51 years old. I don't hold your age against you. So I encourage you not to hold it against me either. Because I am a geek. A very, very geeky geek. Serious geek. Well, okay, not too serious a geek. I'm a little weird and a little funny and a little strange. So I encourage you to listen to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast, and Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the television show over IPTV, which is called drbill.tv. As a matter of fact, if you go to drbill, drbill.tv, that's where you'll find our video casts, or as Leo Laporte likes to say, netcasts. Or you can go to my blog, which is at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, lest you think that that's unique to do thecomputercurmudgeon.com that quickly, you're right, I can do it that quickly anytime I want. But this one is cool because it has that cute thecomputercurmudgeon.com thing at the end. You see, one of my faithful listeners to the podcast decided to bless me with that. And I appreciate it. I really do. Because it's odd. And I like oddness. Also, lest I forget, we are part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. You know, it's kind of weird now that we have TV and the video, you know. I don't quite know what to do with myself when I'm playing the little bits, like the promos. For instance, the Darn PC promo, which is part of the Tech Podcast Network.
Looking for another great podcast to listen to after you finish this one? Check out the Darn PC Podcast at www.darnpc.com, where we discuss technology and tips that make your life better using that Darn PC at www.darnpc.com.
Very nice, yeah. It wasn't through. It was still playing, but that's okay. I won't tell if you won't. Anyway. We also have here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, geek culture for you. Now, you may ask, those of you that haven't been listening for very long, you may ask, what is geek culture? Well, that's where you comb the internet and find weird, strange things that are interesting to those of us who are of a geek persuasion, such as myself. And so we have one called My PC. Now, to set this up properly, you have to understand that there was a song that became very popular when Gary Brawlsma lip-synced to the Numa Numa song. And the Numa Numa song, of course, was very weird and odd. This takes the tune of the Numa Numa song and kind of puts a little spin on it that is appropriate to what we were just talking about with Harold Reed's Darn PC promo. Sometimes that PC can just be frustrating, and particularly when you call somebody to have it repaired. Now, of course, being Dr. Bill, I repair my own PC, and I do it all myself. But there are those who just can't do it themselves. They just don't have the technology. And so they call a technician. When they call the technician comes in and looks very serious and very grave and says, "It's looking bad. I think we're going to have to replace the thermostat." And that's really expensive. You know those thermostats. So then you're left with the bill after they leave. Oh, your PC is now more or less working. Maybe not as fast as it used to when you first unboxed it, but it's better. But now you got to pay that terrible bill. And I'm not talking about Dr. Bill, by the way. That not a bill from your doctor or Dr. Bill. Never mind. Anyway, here's Android Technologies with My PC.
My PC, my PC, my PC is on fire. My PC, my PC.
By the way, a PC being on fire is bad.
Hello, it's true, you're down. Won't boot, and I made something that runs to show you that you're screwed. Hello.
If your PC's on fire, I'd say time to get another one. Might as well not even call the technician, you know what I mean? You know, it's kind of awkward to sit here while this is playing and try to think of something to do.
I know, it seems my bill's extreme, and I bought something to fix the colors on your screen. Hello. Won't load, I will not pay.
hears this song kind of running long.
My PC, my PC, my PC is on fire. My PC, my PC, my PC is on fire. When you leave, my screen it fades to gray. Turned it on today, now my data's gone away. When you make my PC load and play, then your lousy bill I'll pay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just long and a little lame, but interesting. Not all geek culture is awesome. Some of it's kind of eh. But there you go. Android technologies with my PC. Now, let's get to what we call the meat of the podcast. Those of you that are not carnivorous, maybe vegetarians, you can just kind of bear with me. Anyway, what we do here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast, and now vodcast, is to review the week on thecomputercurmudgeon.com, the blog, and see what it was that I've been kind of interested in this past week. Some of it will interest you, some of it won't, but then it's my podcast, so what are you going to do? I guess you could just go watch Ask a Ninja or something like that. Actually, I like Ask a Ninja, but anyway, I digress. The point is, let's go to the blog entry right after the 2006 retrospective edition of the Dr. Bill podcast. I don't know what it is. I just got to get this in there so they stay better. Anyway, the entry is, who says Linux doesn't do games? See, a lot of people are really kind of not pleased with Linux because it doesn't have all the cool games that the PC platform does. And, you know, my son Ben, he's the game master, by the way. His site is gamemasters.biz, B-I-Z. Now, he's 14, so he doesn't actually have a business there. But that's what was available because everybody had already, you know, taken all the other Game Master domain names. So, you know, by the time he's in his 20s and he really does have a business as the Game Master, then, of course, gamemaster.biz will make sense. So, that's okay. Anyway, the point is, he likes PC games. Matter of fact, he's getting a brand new PC that we just ordered last night, and it rocks. It's got blue neon in it, and it's cool looking, and it's silver and black, and whoa. It's going to be very cool. So I'm looking forward to getting going, because we ordered it with no operating system. No, not because I'm going to put Linux on it, you know. That's one of the first things he suggested, but I mentioned the fact that most of all of his games have to run under Windows, so yeah, we're going to put Windows on it. And don't worry, I have a legal, licensed copy of Windows with the little sticker and everything that we're going to put on that PC, so don't worry about that. It's just that I already had a copy, so why pay for it again when I buy the PC, okay? Anyway, here's the thing. A lot of people say Linux doesn't have enough games. Now, for me, Linux is great, just as it is. I've got Frozen Bubble. That's all I need. You know, I'm simple, easy to get along with, you know, when it comes to gaming. So, Frozen Bubble, yeah, that'll do it for me. That and Super Mario Brothers, Smash Brothers thing, game, whatever the official name is, Smash Brothers. Anyway, that's got Donkey Kong in it, and I like to play Donkey Kong and bash things, you know. You know, that kind of thing. Like that part. Yeah. See, I don't like games that require strategy. I'm really not into thinking. No. Not about games. Now, you know, I think about other things. Yeah, but not games. Anyway, the point is, see, I keep digressing. I don't mean to do that. The point is that Linux does do games. As a matter of fact, there is a Super Gamer DVD edition, special edition of Linux, that has all kinds of games built into it. And I have a link in the blog to the Super Gamer DVD, and I encourage you to go there. It's based on the core of PC Linux OS, and Darren, a member of the community, the open source community, of course, put together this with all kinds of cool games. And you can use Linux games. He's got a ton of them on there. He also has the ability to run Sedega or Wine to run Windows games. And, you know, well, you know what Wine is. Wine is not an emulator. Okay? That's what Wine stands for. So I was about to say that it emulates Windows, but Wine is not an emulator. So I don't understand it that well either, but it works. Anyway, so check that out. Next item on the blog is Zune ads. What? I've got a link here in the blog to, and by the way, this is cool and new for the blog as well. I've got a new blog design that I like a lot. The theme on my WordPress blog I've updated for the new year, 2007. And one of the new features is the ability to actually have the YouTube videos right there displayed on the page. And when you click it, it plays right there in the blog. So you don't have to leave the computercurmudgeon.com to go look at the videos. I'm sneaky that way. So anyway, check these out. These are two very bizarre videos that are supposed to be Zune advertisements. One has one bird transferring something to another bird, which causes it to catch in flames and turn into a cinder before he starts rocking on. See if I can play that in terms of playing the audio. There's the audio, and there's the little bird, and there's the other bird comes up, and he transfers some cosmic, and the other bird catches fire and burns up. Poor bird. But then the ashes fall off, and they both rock on. Now, what does that have to do with the Zune, you might ask? Well, here's my guess, you see. The Zune has the ability, from one Zune to the other Zune, to transfer songs, you see. So if you're rocking out on your Zune, you can transfer a song to another person's Zune, and they can play that song, but only for three times before they have to buy it. Yeah. Why, you might ask? Because of digital rights management, DRM, where you have to buy the song or you can't use it for very long. Now, in the Zune's case, you can play it three times. Beyond that, you pretty much can't play it unless you buy it, which, of course, you need to legally. Don't misunderstand, but it's very restrictive. You know, particularly since you might buy the song and then the DRM gets messed up and then you can't play the song again anyway, and you got to go rebuy it, which that would tick me off. Personally, I just use PodSafe music, and then I don't have to worry about DRM. I think a lot of people are getting that way. Yeah. Next item, another DirCaster update. Now, for those of you that don't know, DirCaster, D-I-R, caster, like broadcast, put that together, and you get DirCaster. What that is the ability to take an MP3 or MP4 file now, since it's a video, drop it into a directory, and automatically it creates an RSS feed so that you can subscribe to it. And, of course, that's what you want to do to this podcast, for instance, is subscribe to it and get it regularly every time it comes out. So DirCaster is software that I was so enthralled with that when they quit developing it, I just said, well, hey, I'll take it on. And I've had a lot of folks help me with this. And the latest is just a minor bug release. Well, I should say bug fix, not a bug release. This isn't Microsoft, after all. You know. Right. Anyway, bug fix edition. And I'd encourage you to get it if you use DirCaster at all. It's version dot, as in not up to one yet, dot 7B. So check that out. If you click on the link there, it will take you to... Actually, no, it won't. But you can click on a link that I'll add shortly that will take you to DirkCaster.org, which is the site that I created for DirkCaster. So there you go. Okay, next item. We're going to move right along here. By the way, I've got more information about DirkCaster coming shortly. We're going to do a special project presentation during the vodcast. And you'll hear the audio on the podcast about how to set DirkCaster up as our project for this week. So stay tuned. All right, next item, an update, the $1 million homepage. Do you remember the $1 million homepage? Back on podcast number 2, I talked about the fact that this guy had his 15 minutes of fame where he decided he had to pay for college somehow. So he decided, why not sell pixels of his web page, and he sold them in 100 pixel blocks, $1 a pixel, so $100 minimum, and people could put little tiny little pixels on one big screen, like that's useful, and that he was going to try to get up $1 million, sell every pixel on that screen, 1 million pixels. Right. So I figured, no way, but you know what? That was back in 2005. Here it is 2007, and I checked on it just on a whim, and it sold out. The guy actually did it. He sold all 1 million pixels, which means he's a millionaire. That ought to put him through school. And enough people, think about it, enough people paid $1 a pixel to make the guy a millionaire. Okay, next item. This is really cool. Now I'm gonna launch this page, the link that I have in the blog, and of course you won't be able to see it unless you go click on the link and go see it. But this is a takeoff of a private spacecraft, and you really need to click on it to watch it. This thing takes off. It's got little stubby feet. And it takes off and flies up 285 feet off the ground. And it's got a camera on board so you can see what it sees as it flies up. This is really wild. And then it comes back down. This is the part that I like. And lands on those little stubby feet. And there it is. Safely back on the ground. That rocks! They might say, who cares? Well, here's the thing. I'm old enough, being the computer curmudgeon, I'm old enough to remember the old, you know, science fiction movies where the ship would take off and then it would land and it was no big deal. You know, and then I was real disappointed back in 1969. Yes, I was around in 1969. To see the moon landing and the Apollo ships, they would come back and they would splash down. They didn't land like a spaceship supposed to land. It's kind of a bummer, you know. I wanted to see it land. But, you know, this one actually does it. And it's private. And here's the kicker. It was started by Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos. He's a billionaire. That's with a B, a billionaire. And he is funding the spacecraft to pioneer commercial space tourism. That means you can buy a seat on this ship, take off, and go into space just for the fun of it. Of course, it'll cost you a lot of money, but it's cool. So check that out. You really need to see the video. Once I get the technology down for this vodcast thing, by the way, vodcast video on demand, you know, we'll get it where we can show it to you during the podcast. But in the meantime, you just have to go to the blog and click on it like anybody else. Anyway, next item, move to OpenOffice.org 2.1 now. By the way, come a little closer. Just a little. Yeah, but look, a little closer. Now! Okay? Do it now! Why, you ask? You can back off a little now. A little more. That's good. That's about right. Why do it now? Because there's, unfortunately, a bug in OpenOffice. Now, I know that's rare. You know, Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Office, they have bugs all the time. But OpenOffice, it's pretty rare. But it's a biggie. So any previous version of OpenOffice.org, not good. You need to go ahead and upgrade to the latest version, which is patched to take care of the problem. And that's OpenOffice.org 2.1. So get a prescription from the doctor. Upgrade now. There's a link in the blog, of course, where you can go to OpenOffice.org and get 2.1. Download it, install it. You'll be glad you did. Okay, next item. I love this one. Those of you that have been watching me, actually haven't been watching me because this is the very first podcast. Duh. But those of you that have been listening to me for all of the other 69 earlier podcasts, I mentioned earlier that this is podcast number 70, isn't it? Being recorded on January the 6th, by the way. A Saturday. Yes. Anyway, where was I going? Do you remember? Oh, yeah, now I remember. Think about this headline that I'm about to read to you. Internet Explorer unsafe for 284 out of 365 days during 2006. You'll see that I do that occasionally, being the computer curmudgeon and having the gray beard and everything. Occasionally, I'll go back to 19-something. I've lived more in the 19 range than I have in the 2000 range, you see, and it just happens. Let me try that headline again. Internet Explorer unsafe for 284 out of 365 days in 2006. 284 days out of 365, it was unsafe. In other words, it wasn't patched when it had a problem. Oh yeah, Microsoft's really interested in security, aren't they? Yeah. Next and last item in terms of the blog entries is my opinion piece on the current state of IPTV. Now, you might ask, Dr. Bill, is it possible that you did an opinion piece on IPTV just because you knew you were going to be doing your very first IPTV show? Yeah, that's the reason. What are you going to do? So, here's basically what I said. I encourage you to read the entire entry. But basically what I'm talking about is the future of TV is going to be TCP/IP TV, or Internet Delivery of Video Content. And I really think, as I say in this piece, that this year of 2007 is probably going to come to be known as the year of IPTV. It's the year that there'll be a tremendous number of people, like myself, providing content for IPTV. And in fact, those of you that are, you know, that want to do this, you could show this TV show, this IPTV show, on your television set with nothing but just a few cables coming out of your PC and going to your correctly equipped TV set. Now, for instance, my TV has S-Video input. Okay, it's not even that new a TV. As a matter of fact, I bought it back in 1987. So it's definitely not new. But it's got an S-Video input. And so if I take the S-Video out from my laptop and run it over through a cable into the S-Video input on the TV, then guess what? You've got video feeding into the TV. My laptop sees it as another monitor. I enable that monitor. I usually actually position it above the current monitor. Then I just take the video player, drag it up, drop it in that upper monitor, right click, full screen display, and there's TV. Now, what kind of content can you get? Well, for instance, is this, there it is again, Ziff Davis. Try saying that 10 times fast. Very strange things will happen to your tongue. Anyway, here's where I was headed. Ziff Davis's show, DL.TV, is IPTV that is available that I actually watch on my television. just like it was the old Screensaver show. Matter of fact, Patrick Norton is on there. Brings back fond memories of Tech TV before G4 killed it. Anyway. Also, John C. Dvorak, another curmudgeon like myself. John C. Dvorak has a program called Cranky Geeks. I'm glad he didn't call it curmudgeon because moi is the computer curmudgeon. Anyway, Cranky Geeks is on, and it is also IPTV. Now, John C. Dvorak said last week on Cranky Geeks that he didn't think that Cranky Geeks, the show, was actually IPTV. He has a very unique definition of IPTV, which is that it won't really be IPTV until there's a set-top box that you can just turn on and get your feed directly off the internet, and not involve a computer at all, not have to download any files and then connect up a cable and show it that way. Well, there is such a device. Actually, there's a lot of devices like that, but one that I feature here on the blog in this entry is one that I haven't personally gotten a unit of. As a matter of fact, Aaron, if you're listening and watching the podcast, the vodcast, then I would encourage you to send me a unit and I'll test it, okay? But I don't personally have one, so I can't test the unit. However, he's been sending me PDFs, and he's been sending me information from MediaStream, his company. And it is basically just what John C. Dvorak was asking for, a set-top box that delivers IPTV content. Pretty cool. So, something to check out. They're also beefing up the content, because after all, what good is the technology if you don't have content? So, they have developed a site called MyTVPal.com, and you can actually go download a free PC player. I'm sure that's what he told me. Well, you can download the free PC player, and then you wouldn't have to have that set-top box. And I wouldn't have to ship you one to try. Yeah, well, okay. Anyway, it's really cool stuff. It's exciting. This is where we're headed. Now, here's my problem. I don't know what to call it exactly. I keep stumbling around. Is it a podcast? Is it a vodcast? Video on demand? Is it a vidcast? I'm kind of beginning to lean toward going with Leo Laporte's thing of netcast, because then it could be video, audio, whatever. Just netcast. I like it, you know. So, hey. Props to Leo for coming up with the term netcast. Well, let's see. I don't know how much time we have left. I try to keep it to about 30 minutes, but if I run a little bit over, hey, it's just that I'm excited about video and the fact that we're doing it today for the very first time as a vodcast. I guess I'll go with vodcast for right now until things kind of, you know, straighten out in the term realm, if that's a correct term. Can you have a term about a term? I don't know. Anyway, if I have enough time left in the podcast, we'll just segue right now over into our geek project for this week, which is how to set up DuraCaster to feed things like this video, and audio, if you want to do a podcast. And I'd encourage you to do that. And I'll be right back in just a second after our geek project. All right, what you're going to want to do in order to set up DuraCaster is to start your FTP client, which in my case would be FileZilla. I'm using FileZilla version 2.2.30, which is the most recent version. But at any rate, just go ahead and go to the site that you're going to put your DuraCaster podcast on. In this case, I have a friend, Chucky Daniel, who has a website, ChuckyDaniel.com. And on Chucky's site, we have created a subdirectory called Podcast. But you can see that it's empty. So what we want to do is go to the DuraCaster square. And what I've done is unzipped the DuraCaster zip file. And as a matter of fact, this is technically the old zip file. It should be 7B, which is .07B is the current version. But anyway, that's the old zip file. This will still suffice for our current demo. The bottom line is we want to select all of the code once it's been unzipped. We'll just drag it over and drop it into the podcast directory that's been created on the server. And you can see it transfers the files. Great thing about FileZilla. I like the drag and drop, by the way. Now you notice it's all been transferred over. And so it's there as a feed. However, what we need to do now is put some content there. So let's say that we went to the most current version. Actually, we have a couple of test files here, but let's find something that actually has some real content to it. Let's go to my directory and my documents, and I happen to have done a few podcasts recently, one of which would be here's a Dr. Bill podcast. Looks like I've been playing with formats because I've got both MP3 and WMA format. But for right now, let's go with the MP3. You then just drag it over and drop it into the same directory that you put your code into, and now that podcast is there. Now, for instance, if we were to go to Chucky's blog, which is, at, as I say, ChuckyDaniel.com, we'll just do that. Okay. Now, since we put it in the podcast directory, we go to podcast/durcaster.php, and there's notice. We didn't have to really do anything special other than move those files into that directory. Now, you'll notice that the feed has Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. It has the headline, if you will, information, basically the description. It has the icon for the show, and then it has that first file that we put over there. And if I were to click that, then what's going to happen is it's actually going to play that MP3 through whatever client you have set up to play MP3s. In this case, there it is. We don't have to play the whole thing, but they can then play that way. Now, obviously we don't want to leave Dr. Bill's podcast set up on Chucky's site. He probably wouldn't be terribly pleased with that. So I'm going to go ahead and delete that, and we can leave this here. Now, here's what you will need to do. The durcaster.php file, you want to edit that file. Okay, now, I've got the editor set up as just a plain old notepad editor. You can use any editor that you want as long as it's a plain text editor. But you want to go down into here where it says in the header, Durcaster specific variables, and you want to change all these tags that are currently set for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, you want to set those to your tags. So your title, your description, and you'll notice that I have it annotated here in terms of the comments so that you can see exactly what you need to change. There's the title and the description and the copyright tag, all the different things that would be part of your blog you want to add. And then down here are the iTunes-specific tags. You'd want to change those to comply. Now, some of it's repetitive information, but it gives you the definition of the variable for Durcaster to use. Once you set those up, you find a line that says, do not edit anything below this line unless you know what you're doing. And it looks like I need to do a little edit there, unless. So anyway, that's what you need to do. Just leave the rest of this alone unless you're a PHP guy. And if you are, and I said guy, I should say person, obviously, guy or gal, if you add anything to the code that's really useful, please let me know as the maintainer of the site, and that would just be tremendous help for the Dirtcaster project. And we'll go ahead and save those changes, save it back to the server, and there you go. You've got Dirtcaster set up. We're coming out with some add-ons very soon that are going to be really exciting, that'll be a tremendous benefit to folks. So you can see, very simple. It's a very simple project that you can set up. If you want to set this up in your DNS so that your podcast directory is, for instance, podcast.thecomputercurmudgeon.com, you can do that by simply setting that up in your DNS to point to podcast dot instead of www dot, and then define that in your Apache configuration, and you can point to this directory, and you can have a feed similar to podcast.thecomputercurmudgeon.com, which is where you'll find our RSS feed provided by Dirtcaster Software, and I trust. All right, that was cool, and you can do it. You can do Dirtcaster, and you can become an IPTV internet celebrity. I had some really cool emails this week. Matter of fact, one was from someone who basically was saying that good old Dr. Bill was an internet celebrity. I find that interesting, given that hardly anybody knows who I am. Well, I mean, my son Ben and my wife Belinda and a couple of friends of mine. And, hey, Chucky! I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know, I just happen to know Chucky Daniel listens because he's also into podcasting. He has his blog. Ooh, look, I just got email. Knew that would happen if I forgot to turn that little thing off. Anyway, by the way, isn't Thunderbird cool? I think it's really cool. Anyway, Chucky, you see, is at ChuckyDaniel.com. He has a blog, and he's about to start a podcast, so that's why I figured I'd go ahead and say hi to him. Anyway, here's this guy who is who also has a blog, and his blog is called CSSurfer.com, and I thought this entry was very interesting. This was his New Year's Eve entry. He says, the family is still asleep. I snuck into the office earlier this morning. I've been itching to write a post. And so he writes a post. But this is the sentence that I thought was really interesting. I found some voices talking about downloading podcasts, which Dirtcaster, that we just saw, allows you to set up a feed. So he said he downloaded some podcasts, and I found some voices that I did not expect, like Adam Curry, the Podfather himself, Will Wheaton, formerly known as Wesley Crusher on Star Trek, who's actually a geek in his own right and is really kind of a neat guy. Leo Laporte, as I've talked about during the podcast today. These were personalities that I'd known before, and I was glad to find them again. I was also surprised to encounter a multitude of new voices, like Dr. Bill Bailey, Kevin Rose, Alice Albrecht, Patrick Norton, and Robert Herron. Now, Patrick Norton and Robert Herron on DLTV. Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht, of course, Dig.com and Dig Nation, and Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. He says, in fact, I became so interested in this new pod culture that I almost spontaneously started writing this blog as an outlet for my excitement. The podcasting domain is huge, thrilling, and scary. You know, maybe I should actually have zoomed in. Scary! Ah! But I won't do that. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? By the way, I'm using this little remote to do that thing. You know, it's not like there's somebody behind the camera going, Dr. Bill, do you want me to zoom in, you know? No. Okay. These, let's see, he says, the podcasting name is huge, thrilling, and scary. I just hope in the coming year that my voice can take better shape and this blog can become something that I am proud to author. Well, I think you should be proud to author what you have authored already, because it certainly made my week. Dr. Bill, right there among Kevin, Alex, Patrick, Robert, Leo Laporte, Will Wheaton, and Adam Curry. Dude. Anyway, so I thought that was pretty cool. So I wanted to share that with you. I also had a couple of really nice emails this week from people who thought that the update of the blog was